Not everything about electronic control weapons, or ECWs, better known by the brand name Taser, is controversial. First of all, they're used by plenty of police forces in over 100 countries, including more than 140 municipal police departments right here in Massachusetts as of 2012.
I think it was the late 90s, early 2000s that we saw the explosion, if you will, of tasers into the police workforce.
That's University of South Carolina criminology professor Jeffrey Alpert, who led a 2011 study on ECWs for the U.S. Justice Department.
It's a very common tool these days. It's kind of the rare department that does not employ tasers.
Boston is, of course, one of them. In general, ECWs work exactly as they're designed to, firing probes into a subject that then administer an electric current that temporarily incapacitates them. And as Carl Williams of the ACLU of Massachusetts points out, many of the models also gather and store all kinds of data.
When they were used, when they were last serviced, when they were last charged, the time it was out of its holster, how long it was deployed for, how much charge went through a person.
That's potentially invaluable post-incident information for everyone, from law enforcement to the courts, the press to the citizenry.
It's a very effective tool when used properly, and I've got to qualify my statement with when used properly.
And here is where the controversy comes in. As songwriter Ani DeFranco once said, every tool is a weapon if you hold it right. Here's Williams.
One, these can be lethal devices, right? And I think that needs to be, we need to be clear about that.
How often they are lethal depends on whom you ask. Amnesty International says that more than 500 people died between 2001 and 2012 because of ECWs. Alper says the real number is difficult to get at.
I can't tell you how many times we've been in conferences with medical examiners and medical doctors who disagree on the source of the death. Some say that it was the electricity. Others say it was a pre-existing condition. Others say it wasn't the electricity at all. We don't know.
Less disputed is the risk of injury.
When you get hit with a taser, you just go limp. I mean, your muscles just don't work. If you're running away and you're leaning forward and I shoot you in the back, then you're going to go forward. And if it's on cement, you're going to hit your face. You have no way to protect yourself.
Now, if ECWs were used exclusively as an alternative to firearms, you can easily see the benefit despite the risk of injury or death. In fact, Taser International claims that their devices have saved 148,000 people from death or more serious injury. What worries the ACLU is that this isn't how ECWs are being used.
Are people using tasers where they never would have even thought of using a gun, or are they using them instead of guns? I think that's the question. Is it a drop down or is it a step up for people to use?
Alpert's research suggests that concern is well-founded. He says that ECWs, like pepper spray before them, are regularly employed too early and too often by police. In Seattle, a police trainer told him that ECWs there have contributed to, quote, lazy cop syndrome.
Over the years, we've seen the use of the taser begin or start at relatively low levels of force. So in other words, rather than go hands-on with you, I'm just going to hit you with a taser so I don't have to fight you.
Both Alper and Williams agree that any police force that employs ECWs needs to be aware of the potential for misuse and take steps to minimize it.
There's a lot of good in it. There's some difficulty in it. We need to put the brakes on and say, hold on, there need to be a lot of policies and procedures in place, and they need to be the right ones, and people need to be trained.
And there is one more question for the pile. ECWs are not cheap. Neither is training, and budgets are finite. So if Boston does decide to introduce them, it's also fair to ask what that money is not going to be spent on. From the Curiosity Desk, I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, WGBH, Boston's local NPR.